We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrandt, and joining me, as always, over there in New York City, my man, Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
I am so excited to go to the Lone Star State and DC, Ty.
The cat is officially out of the bag now, isn't it?
I mean, if you're on Twitter or Facebook, Instagram, but not the show, so perhaps there are people listening in Texas who heard us talk about the fact that we are going to Big 12 country where barbecue is prevalent.
That's correct.
But didn't name the place because we ourselves were trying to zero in and confirm a place between a couple of different options, but we are locked in on the first ever double fantasy things. I don't know if it's rounds. I just know we're going to have a huge bank of options to select, and we have individual items and plans for each show. So it's huge.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. We have not figured out yet how we're doing this.
Let's promise things that we'll have to fulfill.
No, we're not promising anything. We're doing two shows, one in Texas, which will officially be now on August the 17th at the Alamo Draft House in Dallas, Texas, or just outside of Dallas, Texas.
Yeah.
We will be sending out our newsletter shortly. Literally, as soon as I get the ticketing link, I'm going to throw it in my newsletter. It could be during the show. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw it in the newsletter, and I'm going to send it out because there seems to be a ton of interest. We want to make sure that people have ample time to make plans to get to Dallas. Again, that is going to be Saturday night, August the 17th in Dallas, Texas. So that show is happening. In addition to the show that we're also doing that you already know about on August the 18th, we're going to hop in the bird. We're going to fly back across the country to the nation's capital, August the 18th, Sunday night. That one taking place at Union Stage. You can buy tickets right now at solidverbaltickets.com/DC.
Mm-hmm.
Solidverbaltickets.com/DC. Tickets still available, but starting to pick up.
Oh, starting yeah. This is I think we sold. Did we sell the most tickets we've sold on the first day that we have for DC?
Both shows are going to sell out. So if you want to get in, now would be the time to do it. Obviously, as soon as the Texas show goes live, hit that button, buy the ticks, and reserve your spot. We're excited.
We are excited. And we are having how many members of the cabinet attend the DC show?
I believe we're going to announce our joint ticket for the 2020 presidential candidacy.
Oh, okay. I mean,
if we're going to promise stuff, what the heck? Let's go nuts.
What is the cabinet position that does the least work? Because dibs. That's what suits me.
Okay. I'll have to think about that one, or maybe some
HUD right in. Can I pencil my name in for HUD?
I mean, it seems like an important position, Dan.
I know, but I don't know. A lot of them seem important. So we have DC, we have Texas, we have screens. I love this word because it's the douchiest corporate word. We're efforting to make it a big multi-mixed media extravaganza.
I believe
yes.
You said in one of your tweets that we were efforting tenders for Ty, which was a very weird sequence of words, but I do approve.
Stand by everything. That means we are going to do everything we can. I think the Alamo Draft House, and don't hold us to this now, but I think they already offer chicken tenders.
I believe they do, yeah.
So there will be tendos aplenty.
Both venues will have food and drink available, per my understanding. So it'll be a lot of fun. Come hungry, come ready for football, come ready for our weird fantasy draft, which we still don't know. I'm going to emphasize this again. We do not know how we're going to pull this off yet. We will, alas,
we
do
have
so.
Ideas.
We will do so. We will find a way to make this happen. That's pretty much been our MO now since we started in 08. But
we've never received an email after the fact, any of our live shows, like, you know what? Didn't have a great time. Just thought I'd give you a heads up.
No, all the feedback's been good.
We'll deliver.
All the feedback's been good. If you haven't gotten out and signed up for the newsletter yet, please do so. Go to solidverbal.com and see the form right there.
Yeah.
And as soon as we get the tickets, you will get first dibs on it.
Yes. Other housekeeping quickly. You can go, solidverbal.com/store
yes,
for our 2019
correct.
Shirts. It is currently, we're recording this in early to mid-July. We haven't locked in a week, but I hope it's next week. I don't know what your schedule is looking like to begin our season preview episodes.
Yeah,
I just like getting those up so people have a chance to listen to however many they'd like before the season.
Also, still in development, but
yeah.
I believe, if memory serves, we're looking at maybe not next week, but the week after. It will start before the end of July.
So that's something to look forward to. Fantasy things, same weekend, different shows, the 17th and 18th in Dallas and DC, respectively. We are giving it all our all, and we have, I think, a really interesting and fun show to do tonight.
This show that we're going to do tonight,
yeah,
which you now know is titled, by the way, there's a thunderstorm in the background here.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear it.
Mother Nature's feeling this show too.
Mm-hmm.
This show titled Wish Upon a Season is something that we came up with while I was in the car talking to you yesterday on the way home from the mysterious day job.
Yeah.
And the way that this idea came about,
24 plus hours preparation for an off-season show.
That's correct.
Pretty good.
Which is like a new record for us.
Pretty good.
I said we should do a make-a-wish kind of show where we can talk as fans,
where
we can invite others as fans who listen out on social media to tell us, what is your wish for the coming season?
Problematic title, so we shifted it a little.
Problematic title, exactly. Our words, exactly. Like, maybe we should title it something else. Okay, we don't want to cross the streams too much.
Mm-hmm.
So then I said to you, is there some way we can like spin off Aladdin? You know, you of course, in Aladdin, you only had the three wishes, but in Aladdin, there was that whole wish component with the genie and the bottle, and then the light went off in your head. This happens a lot. The light goes off in your head, and immediately you go to, gosh, there have been a lot of movies that have the plot of a wish coming true.
Wish fulfillment, yeah.
And then you found there's a whole Wikipedia page about movies that feature wish fulfillment.
This is true. This is 100% true. And I particularly enjoy the timing of this. We have some sort of service that tells us when people leave reviews on iTunes or somewhere that they leave reviews on the show. And the reviews are generally good because you guys seem to enjoy the show, which is great. But somebody was like, really good college football talk. I don't like it when they talk about movies and TV shows.
Four stars
much.
Until proven otherwise.
4 out of 5 until they get things fixed. So if we can, welcome to a show centered around Big 17 again, Aladdin, Freaky Friday, Liar Liar, and Ted.
Yes,
we know there are more movies about wish fulfillment, but this is what we have in front of us.
I almost drove off the road going through these. Lord knows there are a million. We could have included Kazam. We could have.
Yeah, we could have.
We could have included
It's a Wonderful Life.
Where they're peeing in the fountain. We didn't. A Wonderful, like all these things, we had to pick ones that we thought were fitting here. So Daniel, would you like to get us started?
I would. Let's start with Big. I think it's Josh Baskin was the name of the lead character who wanted to be Big. So essentially, the plot of Big is he wants to grow up and reap the benefits that come with being an adult, a big boy. And so he does and goes through all of those things, positive and negative, before, spoiler, becoming a kid once again when he refines Zoltar. Your choices, or you can come up with something else, Ty, for the kids or the people who are not fully grown up and not fully big boys who we sort of wish are: Nebraska, Kansas, Tennessee, UCLA, Arkansas.
Can we establish some ground rules first and foremost?
I'm ready.
Not allowed to use Jalen Hurts, Justin Fields, we'll say Tua or Trevor Lawrence in an answer.
And any of these answers, correct.
That's the low-hanging fruit that you could use for almost any
of
these.
Well, just, we've said their names already so many times since January, they've, and I'm just, I'm
they've
ready.
Gotten to the coach as condiment level.
Yeah.
You know, what coach would you go on a road trip with? They're kind of in that mold now.
Which Mountain West Coast coach is most and least like Ross from Friends season 4?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So your choice is Nebraska, Kansas, Tennessee, UCLA, Arkansas, or somebody else in terms of who do you want to see grow up and get to that stage of, oh, wow, they are suddenly ready to beat anybody.
I think the answer for me is Nebraska.
This is for the 2019 season. Let's be specific.
There has been so much hype. I know it's probably the easiest answer of the ones on here, but Arkansas getting better doesn't move the needle for me because, I'm sorry to say, they're still in the SEC West. Doesn't change a whole lot. UCLA getting better would be interesting. It'd be interesting, but there's still a ways to go. Tennessee is up there because I like what I saw. They had a lot of fight last season. Kansas would just be interesting because they've got Les Miles as coach. Mm-hmm. And again, they're so far down. How far up could they really go? Nebraska, though, Nebraska is sort of being talked about as like a dark horse Big Ten West contender. It might be too early. Mm-hmm. And if it happens, it's not because of Adrian Martinez and the offense that everyone knows Scott Frost is bringing to Lincoln. It's because their defense holds up. So I would like to see Nebraska be the answer to this question. That is my wish, my big wish, if you will, for Nebraska to get it done where it counts on defense and truly grow up and become that program that so many Huskers fans are hoping for now that Scott Frost has finally come back home.
See, I want Tennessee. I want the SEC East to not be a Georgia assumption. I want everything that comes along with the mayhem that is Tennessee fandom for a lot, but not all of all fans. I want that sort of week in, week out. You have the Florida rivalry. You have, Vandy, Kentucky, Georgia, South Carolina. You have all of these coaches and storylines. If Tennessee, and you have always are going to have Alabama cross division, if Tennessee is suddenly a 10-plus win team in 2019... I think this season becomes so much more interesting. No, not to say that the Big Ten West couldn't use Nebraska becoming more complete. Listen, Kansas running roughshod through the Big 12. It's not a likelihood question. It's what just we wish, what we want. I don't know. Even if Kansas goes 7-5, that means they're taking down 3-4 Big 12 teams, which, cool, great. Les Miles is on a bigger stage. UCLA, fine. Arkansas, fine. Tennessee is my answer. Tennessee becoming a big boy this year and dancing on the piano. What is it? Heart and Soul?
Yeah.
In big?
Yep.
With Robert Loggia? Is it Robert Loggia? I believe it is. That to me is everything. Jeremy Pruitt and Robert Loggia on the piano at FAO Schwartz. Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, it is. That's all I want. The proverbial heart and soul of Jeremy Pruitt and Robert Loggia doing just big SEC things. May he rest in peace, Robert Loggia.
I also have the Zoltar sound here, by the way. I don't know if you can hear it, but...
Oh, I like that.
For some reason, Zoltar was on the soundboard, so what the heck? Let's just play it.
Like, do you think the Big Ten is more interesting with Nebraska all grown up?
Absolutely.
I think it's fine. I think Tennessee throwing a wrench in the SEC is a lot cooler.
No, well, for sure, but the SEC is already loaded. The problem that we've had for years now with the Big Ten is that it feels like the East is loaded and there's not enough balance on the Western side. Iowa's always going to be respectable. They're just
this is a Northwestern division, sir.
But for a long time, it's been Wisconsin or bust. If you can have another school rise up on that Western side of the conference, I think it makes it more interesting, more balanced. So I'm all in on Nebraska for this one. The second one we've got in front of us here,
Yeah.
Is the movie 17 again. This is from 2009, okay? Let me read. Let me just read these opening two sentences that describe this movie.
I will go to war for 17 again.
Mike O'Donnell is ungrateful for how his life turned out.
Matthew Perry.
He gets a chance to rewrite his life when he tried to save a janitor near a bridge and jumped after him into a time vortex, Dan.
Yeah. I believe that janitor is Bill Murray's brother. I
Who's
believe
a tremendous
it is.
That guy.
Yeah, Brian Doyle
movies.
Murray. It is.
And isn't Zac Efron in that too?
Isn't Zac Efron in it? Yes, it's a Zac Efron vehicle.
Zac Efron, Matthew Perry, Leslie Mann.
Oh, yeah, of course.
In that as well?
Yeah.
So what are we talking about here? We're talking about going back to when life was simpler.
Mm-hmm.
When you could live life with the right priorities. Easier yeah. day. Easier day and age, Dan.
Easier day and age. And so you're talking about an adult going back, and I believe the character was a basketball player. So going back with what he now knows about playing high school basketball and playing it once again. So my question to you, if we are going to make a wish for a 17 again situation in the 2019 season, I'm going to grant us the ability to bring back as they stand today, an Oregon and Notre Dame player. So you can bring any Notre Dame player. Like, you probably wouldn't want to bring Jimmy Clausen because you're not getting Notre Dame Jimmy Clausen. You're getting whatever team he's on right now. You're not getting Rick Meyer early Seahawks. You're getting Rick Meyer, you know, 52-year-old, whatever he is. Apologize if that name is way, if that age is way off. So as they stand today, any Notre Dame, Oregon former player, and you can pick anybody to come back to their team that is not a Notre Dame or Oregon player.
All right. So you're saying we basically get present Jalen Smith, if I wanted, from the Cowboys back on Notre Dame's roster.
This is correct. I mean, if you really wanted to, you could go Terry Bradshaw for Louisiana Tech. If that is something that appeals to you, I don't think that makes for a good 2019 season add-on, but you can.
So like Michigan folks would want to go Tom Brady.
Tom Brady is one of my three answers for non-Oregon. Because he's 42 damn years old. And he would just be throwing, remember the Peyton Manning SNL Make-A-Wish?
Yeah.
Tie it all together where he's just throwing darts at nine-year-olds?
Yeah.
That's what we'd get from TB12 era Tom Brady throwing it to, you know, being protected probably pretty well by a decent Michigan offensive line. And then to like Donovan Peoples-Jones,
would
Tom Brady.
That poses an interesting question.
Yeah.
Would Tennessee fans want to bring back Peyton Manning in his present state?
Yes, 100%. And I'd be all for it.
I would be all for it.
It'd be a like game three, him out of football shape, deep in the third quarter and
like
the Knoxville
all sorts
sun.
Of like baggage with his neck and his spine. And yeah,
they're going to have to send Guarantano out for 2.5 series because all of Peyton Manning is cramping. But right. Even still, worth it.
I would do that. The other question I have. Would, I know the answer to this, would Florida people take Tebow back at this point?
Current Tebow? Yeah. He's in good shape.
He's playing
baseball.
He's
in good shape, but and he's perfect for the Mullen offense. That's the thing. He knows the Mullen offense. He's in good shape. I mean, baseball shape is different than football shape. And is he an improvement over Felipe Franks with no practice, no camp, no rhythm? I still probably, yes. He's an all-timer for the Gators.
I feel like this question, this is a great question.
How old is Tim Tebow? He's prime age, right?
He's still got it. Yeah, he's still in good shape. This question to me is more interesting if we could find the one scenario where, I mean, there are many, but one scenario where a school star has moved on to the NFL, maybe is out of football at this point, but is kind of teetering on that line of, is he or is he not an upgrade from what we've got now?
I like that spin. You zagged over my zig.
You know what I mean?
I like that you did that.
Where is that line? Where is that Danny Etling line, so to speak, of
I still think Oregon would take Haloti Ngata, the recently retired.
Sure.
I think that. So my answer is DeForest Buckner. That's the easiest problem. You know, he's an all-pro caliber defensive tackle for the 49ers. So, and he fits a need that Oregon has. They're fine on the defensive line. They don't have a DeForest Buckner-esque type. Who are you taking? I flirted with Kiko Alonso a little bit as well. But who are you taking? Mariota didn't strike me just because it's not a need for the current Oregon team.
Quentin Nelson's an easy answer. Zach Martin's an easy answer. I'm trying to think of one that isn't as easy. DeShone Kizer is an interesting selection.
What?
He is an interesting selection.
Yeah. Interesting is doing a lot of work in that sentence.
He's got a better arm than Ian Book.
Okay.
And when DeShone Kizer left Notre Dame, there was an awful lot of conflict around that quarterback position. You remember the whole Malik Zaire thing.
Of course.
And it was a really tumultuous era for Notre Dame football. I would have to think twice about that one.
Would you take Curran Clausen over Ian Book?
No.
Really? Okay.
No. What's Clausen doing?
I don't know. He's third string for somebody, probably. I don't know.
I would consider Kizer, but I honestly need to give this more
Kizer
thought.
Over Clausen.
Yeah, I would do that.
Sounds like something you'd say at a deli, weirdly.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any other non-Notre Dame answers for players that would just wreak absolute havoc?
I really think the Peyton Manning one's super interesting.
Yeah.
And I'd like to get some Tennessee fans who I know listen fervently to the show.
Well, it's not even just yes or no current Peyton Manning. It's 2027 Peyton Manning. It's 2038 Peyton Manning. Like, how far into the future are you willing to take Peyton Manning?
Would they take...
barely throw at the end of his time, though, right?
Oh, for sure.
I don't think that's gotten better.
You could show a movie on those passes. Would you take T. Martin?
No. I don't think I would take T. Martin over Jarek Guarantano. Current day,
yeah.
Mid-July.
That could be an interesting one. That could be that line.
Okay. I have J.J. Watt on the Wisconsin defensive line.
Okay, sure.
Can you imagine if you were just a poor Northwestern right guard or something? And you're just like, who am I? What? What? And then I would love to put Khalil Mack back on the Buffalo Bulls. I would love to put giant, like 270-pound wrecking ball in the Mack.
Right.
Mack in the back in the Mack. I think that would be just a wonderful, wonderful explosion of fear and regret.
All right. The next one we've got here actually harkens back to what started this whole madness.
Yeah.
And that's Aladdin. So
yeah.
Remember in the Aladdin movie, and we're talking the original Aladdin. Can we just get this out there? The animated version that we all know and love from our childhood. Aladdin got three wishes. And this was another thing we did in the car. We wanted to be accurate and make sure that we got the three wishes. He actually got four wishes because he was a smooth talker. He actually got four wishes, but his three official wishes...
He got out of the cave for free.
He got out of the cave for free, but then with his actual wishes, he wished to be a prince.
Yeah.
Then there was the wish to basically escape death when he was drowning at the bottom of the ocean, which I think the genie sort of assumed, right? He kind of shook his head, but he counted it. And then the third was to set the genie free.
Yes.
Very emotionally
selfless,
powerful moment at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So in a college football sense, I think we translated this to wish number one, who in college football becomes a blue blood, or on the player side, who becomes an All-American? So from nothing becomes something.
Yes.
Do you have an answer for this one?
Yeah, the Kansas Jayhawks. I want Les Miles... on every single TV screen. I want Kansas opening things. The thing I love about the Big 12 is how wide open it seems to be. Even though Oklahoma wins it every year, on any given Saturday, it feels like things can get weird. Texas barely beats Baylor, Kansas State, and you have shootouts here or shootouts there. And Kansas throwing that wrench with Les Miles, I don't believe it. I don't buy in. But that to me is the, if anybody could wish to be a prince, that to me is Kansas finally getting out of this muck.
For me, it's Brandon Wimbush becoming an All-American.
Oh, that's very nice. And very much in the vein of Aladdin's selflessness.
There was an injury at UCF. Brandon Wimbush is now clearly the guy at Central Florida.
Yeah.
By all accounts, he carried himself extremely well at Notre Dame, even though he could see the writing on the wall, knew which direction things were going, found an escape hatch, was able to head on over to UCF. I think Wimbush is my answer here. The second wish...
By the way, I don't even hate somebody else associated with UCF getting magic excellence dust physically. Mackenzie Milton.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
If we're talking about a genie situation, let's heal that leg up and see the end of Mackenzie Milton's career. That I would probably take over Wimbush, but I appreciate your selection.
So the second component then, the second wish in Aladdin is to escape death, which you could also tie in with a grad transfer. At least I do when I go Tommy Stevens. Tommy Stevens, if he stayed on that Penn State roster, I think is hanging in a bit of limbo.
Yeah.
But now,
almost like a Kelly Bryant, like long is this going to last?
Right. I think Tommy Stevens going over to Mississippi State, it's really the best situation for him. He gets to play in an offense for a coach that he knows quite well. And he does have an opportunity now in his final season to really make his mark at Mississippi State. So for me, it's Tommy Stevens getting the chance to escape proverbial death.
I have... getting out of a terrible decision, I have the Big Ten inviting Rutgers. I have the Big Ten saying, let's escape the death of being associated with the current state of affairs. Rutgers as a school, totally fine. Have nothing against you. Rutgers as an athletic department and football program, the way it's been sort of run into the ground in a number of ways these past few years.
So how do they get rid of them? Do they trade them?
They find a loophole in the contract that gets them an out after this year or something like that. And they invite the team that should have been there all along, the Lafayette Leopards, Ty.
There's like a weird indemnity clause in their Big Ten arrangement.
Yeah, they are in because this is a movie show, they are the proverbial Santa Claus that falls off the roof.
Okay.
And suddenly Lafayette becomes a new Big Ten or whoever becomes a new Big Ten school. After the Quick Lane Bowl, I believe it was the Quick Lane Bowl in 2014, 15, Rutgers is 4-31 in Big Ten play.
It's not great, Bob.
4-31.
No, that's not good.
Shout out Jimmy Woke for being Bob in that scenario. So I'm releasing the Big Ten and Rutgers from their marriage.
And then the final of the three wishes is to set someone free.
Yes.
Set somebody free from the chains, from the bondage.
Yeah.
Who would you like to unfetter?
I am setting the Pac-12 free of their TV deal and network. I am setting them free. I love everybody on the network. I think the people on the network, I think the programming, all of it's good. It's a good TV network that just isn't seen by people. I am setting them free so that can move to, I think Fox Sports 1 took over for Speed Network, I want to say. So I don't know. Whoever the Pac-12 can deal with to take over their cable channel and appear on all satellite and cable and streaming providers, that the presidents are set free from another conference call saying, they made profits, weren't as good as they could have been, but we're just, we're doubling down. That's my the chains of the Pac-12 TV deal that was made all those years ago. That's who I'm setting free. Or Lovie Smith.
Lovie Smith is up there.
Or Lovie Smith.
Lovie Smith is up there. I'm setting Clay Helton free.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I'm setting him free. It's obvious, but look, if he goes 8-4, it's turmoil. Not just for him, but for the program. Just get it over with already. We all know what's happening. Everyone likes Clay Helton. Everyone thinks he's a good guy. That's not the issue. It's winning. He hasn't won enough. Get it over with. Let him move on. Let USC move on as a program and hire whoever they're going to hire next. But just get it over with.
Sort of mom and dad sleeping in separate bedrooms, snapping at each other over waffles in the morning.
Whatever will be done eventually should be done immediately. I don't know who said that. It wasn't me.
I think it
over with.
Yeah, it's best for everybody. Unless Graham Harrell and USC are amazing on offense and they're trapped. They could be. It probably is a money thing as well, which I guess could be tied to the divorce analogy. I think they're probably going to save some money on a buyout by letting him coach out the year.
All right, next movie.
Yeah.
Freaky Friday.
Did you see Freaky Friday?
I saw Freaky Friday when it ended up on USA.
Right.
Or one of those networks. Actually, not bad.
Okay.
Not terrible. This is an overworked mother, Jamie Lee Curtis, and her daughter.
It's a remake of a movie from the 60s.
Remake of the movie.
Yeah.
This remake is from 2003.
Okay.
Jamie Lee Curtis, an overworked mother, and her daughter, Lindsay Lohan, do not get along. When they switch bodies, each is forced to adapt to the other's life for one Freaky Friday, Dan.
Oh, okay.
Starring Lindsay Lohan, Jamie Lee Curtis, Mark Harmon, early Mark Harmon in this one.
Yeah, this is pre-NCIS.
Yeah.
I mean, Mark Harmon was a quarterback at UCLA, so it's all tied together now.
What does this translate to in a college football world?
So I have two different answers for you. I have Saturday morning, the Saturday morning of, and I'm looking up the exact date. So I think LSU, Alabama, November 9th, Nick Saban and Les Miles. Freaky Friday brains. Les Miles wakes up, you know, wearing whatever pajamas Nick Saban wears. And the same for Nick Saban in what I'll look at the Kansas schedule now, but Nick Saban for a Saturday is the Kansas coach and is very confused as to everything happening in front of him and why he looks like he does, why his hair is suddenly so much darker and what he's supposed to do with this Kansas team.
See, so Nick Saban,
that's my first.
Nick Saban is the easy target here.
Sure, but where would you put him? That's the difficult thing.
Exactly. Exactly. You could put him, you could switch him in Dabo and it'd be interesting.
Nobody would switch
him in Lane Kiffin. That'd be interesting.
Right.
He needs to get into another body, into another mind and have some fun, man. Lighten up a little bit.
So how is he having more fun?
He's turning into Lane Kiffin for a day.
Is that fun for him though? FAU is just going to be awesome for a day.
People will treat him differently because they think he's Lane Kiffin.
Okay. My second one is I have always loved rewarding people that don't necessarily get the glory that I feel like have earned the glory in college football. I'm swapping out Kellen Mond.
Okay.
Totally good quarterback for Texas A&M and the best punter in college football. I kept it on the same team. Braden Mann wins the Ray Guy last year. I'm making Braden Mann the quarterback of the Texas A&M Fighting Aggies. I'm giving him his moment in the sun. He's already left nothing to prove kicking the ball, right? He was the best kicker in the country, best punter in the country last year. So I say let him prove something else.
But
and I'm putting him at quarterback to give him that glory.
Quarterback is such a cerebral position. If you're switching.
What are you saying about Braden Mann?
If you switch college football brains, don't you think that puts him in a very difficult situation? He's not going to know the offense.
This is more for me. Let me be clear.
Okay.
This is more for me. I'm giving him the opportunity. He's going to be very confused. Kellen Mond's going to look. The punting's going to be bad. The throwing's going to be bad. But I feel good about Braden Mann getting to experience some lining up behind center in a non-kicking way. I'm for it. I want to give him that moment.
This next one is the best one.
Okay.
There's so much. Actually, the last one might be the best one. But this next one.
It's good.
Liar, liar.
Yeah.
Liar, liar with Jim Carrey.
Mm-hmm.
This movie was from back in 1997, if you want to feel old.
Jesus,
so really? 22 years old.
Okay.
Jim Carrey is a fast-track lawyer who can't lie for 24 hours due to his son's birthday wish after he disappoints his son for the last time.
Who plays his son? Is it Alex D. Linz?
It is Justin Cooper.
Ah, so close. Okay.
This is a classic movie. Featuring Jim Carrey.
An uncomfortable Jennifer Tilly scene, for sure.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A couple different ways that you can go with this.
Mm-hmm.
I think putting the most politically correct, cheery coach in a situation where he has to just spill his guts is a very interesting
But who is that? Who is the coach? Because that gave us a lot of thought. Who is the coach where you're like, wow, if he were only honest, if he were only, he couldn't be a BSer and really gave everybody what's on his mind.
I think maybe wrongfully so. A lot of fans believe that Dabo Swinney is that guy.
That he's full of it. BS. Full. Okay. Baloney.
Now, Dabo's had a couple moments here and there where people have gone off on things that he said for one reason or another.
Right.
But he's an interesting answer here. I don't know if he is the answer. Who is the most politically correct, buttoned up corporate speaking coach in college football?
I don't have a coach answer, but I have somebody that fit everything you just said up until the word coach, like the corporate buttoned up,
okay,
like where you'd really like to know what they're thinking. Whoever it is that is representing the college football playoff committee on that Tuesday night ESPN show. Like, listen, we mostly watched King of Queens reruns when we met. Mostly. Then we argued about, you know, pineapple on pizza. And then, yeah. And then Kirby Hoka was like, come on, just let people eat what they want. And then we just said, screw it. Michigan's in. That's what I want.
Bill Hancock.
Yeah.
Could it be Bill? Grandpa Bill?
He may be too wired to be liared.
Wow, that was good.
Thank you. I would say Kirk Herbstreit during Herbie, huge games on Saturday night.
Herbie's on my list.
I'd say Paul Feinbaum.
I was going to go Gary Danielson, but in very much in the same Paul Feinbaum vein.
I think we're getting pretty open GD. When he was talking about Florida paying players that show up on Saturdays,
mm-hmm.
he is not against really speaking his mind. You mm-hmm. might not like it, but I think he goes for it.
The announcer angle is very interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't want to throw our friend Adam Amin under the bus here. But really, any broadcaster who is in those pregame meetings, getting to know coaches and players, undoubtedly hearing some dirt about both sides, it puts them in a very difficult situation, being so they're doing all the talking on the broadcast.
I think a good coach answer might be Harbaugh. He goes out of his way to say so little.
Yeah.
And he's so obviously a very good coach and really strong football mind that if all of a sudden he said, screw it, and was like, all right, we're going to pick on this defensive end. Their linebackers are garbage. I don't trust our passing game to do much. So we're going to run the ball a lot. You're going to be upset about it, but trust us, you don't want John O'Korn throwing it 30 times. Am I right?
That's right.
That to me, I think, would be a refreshing liar situation. Let me be clear, I don't think Jim Harbaugh is a liar.
No.
I just think he should be forced into really opening up about what he sees and how he feels.
Two other interesting answers on the coach side.
Yeah.
Another guy perceived by many to be a BS artist is James Franklin. Could be interesting to put him in a situation.
I think he'd be an entertaining... I mean, he already is, I think, somewhat entertaining.
Very entertaining.
As is, but I think there would be something refreshing
There's some rationale to make him the answer. The other one I'd say is Gus Malzahn, because it just... Oof. I feel like there's a lot of repressed anger in there, and he's usually pretty buttoned up when he's at the podium.
No, you can see there are veins in his temple that are doing a lot of work as he tries to juggle everything at Auburn. I think that's good.
The final one here is Ted.
Mm-hmm.
Ted. Did you like the movie Ted?
I remember it. I thought it was fine. I don't remember specifics. I had to look up how the teddy bear came to pass as being alive.
John Bennett, a man whose childhood wish of bringing his teddy bear to life came true, mm-hmm. now must decide between keeping the relationship with the bear or with his girlfriend, Lori.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Mark Wahlberg is John Bennett. Mila Kunis is Lori. Okay. A lot of star power in this movie, by the way. Seth MacFarlane, Joel McHale, Giovanni Ribisi.
Sure. Boiler Room Zone.
Patrick Stewart's there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Within a college football sense, we translated this to which costumed mascot comes to life and is allowed to play for a team. Now, the other stipulation is we're not talking about a live animal.
Correct.
We're not talking about Ralphie.
Right.
And we're not talking about the leprechaun from Notre Dame.
Yeah, the Mountaineer. Right.
We're talking about, obviously, there's a human in there dressed up as a something.
Take your word for it.
Right. So Sparty.
Mm-hmm.
The Spartan would be a good example. Could pick him to come to life and play.
Joe Bruin. Albert and Alberta, the Gator.
We had an epiphany on G-Chat earlier.
Uh-huh.
We both said the Toledo Rocket.
Two-pronged, yes. I'm approaching this in a two-pronged fashion of both who would make a pretty good impact football-wise and who would just be super entertaining. We miss NCAA football so mm-hmm. much on the PlayStation or Xbox, whatever. And there was that mascot mode. And so from an entertainment, so you also have the Akron Zips, Kangaroo out there.
Mm-hmm.
Big Al would be pretty easy to tackle with the trunk. The trunk would be a legal tackling device, I believe.
Yes.
But it would be entertaining. How far down can we dip level-wise? Because I don't believe it's an official mascot, but I could be mistaken. But Dartmouth has Keggy the Keg,
mm-hmm.
a giant keg.
Yeah.
That would be, I'd be in favor of that. But you want a big head. It's hard for me to go away from Otto the Orange.
Otto the Orange is a classic.
Yeah.
Classic.
Mascot. Low to the ground, center of gravity.
Bucky Badger is interesting to me.
Skinny.
He's skinny, but on the field, he's tenacious.
Who are the actual best, if we're not talking about entertainment-wise?
Probably Sparty. Probably the Spartan. Sparty the Spartan.
Well, you have certain mascots that are dressed in full football gear, but have the head. Kansas State, TCU. I think Buster Bronco at Boise State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't remember if the other Buster Bronco at Western Michigan was in full football pads or gear or jerseys or anything like that. But I would love to play with the old high eyes. You remember that Buster Bronco, the Western Michigan with the like, hey, what are we doing now? I think that's a good option.
You could go Nittany Lion, but I don't think I want to do that.
Doesn't do much for me.
The Demon Deacon is very strong jawline.
Old.
You know, he's a little older. Purdue Pete.
Not bad.
A blue collar. Blue collar.
Sparty,
man.
Purdue Pete in the same phylum. What about Oski?
Ooh. Not bad.
Wearing a cardigan, so yeah. I'm not crazy about the buy-in, but I'm still pretty interested in him.
Otto's a good answer. I like Otto.
I think Otto's my guy.
Probably very good as a center.
Mm-hmm. A lot of positions. Defensive tackle.
Yeah.
It's pad level, Ty. It's pad level.
Before we go any further, Dan, how often do you think about your socks?
Every morning. Every morning.
If you're like me, not all that much. You didn't used to anyway, but upon discovering Bombas socks many moons ago, it sort of changed the way the way many people think about their socks. So we've got Bombas. Bombas has been kind enough to send us drawers filled with socks.
Oh, the best.
Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but we've got plenty of Bombas in our drawers, and it ultimately has become something that we like to wear, whether we're at the gym or just walking around town. I wear them to the mysterious day job. I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ashamed of it. I'll admit it. I've gotten them as gifts for people. They see the Bombas design. They feel the Bombas comfort. They love every second of it. They are the most comfortable socks in the history of feet. They're made from extremely super soft natural cotton. Every pair comes with arch support, a seamless toe, a cushioned footbed that's comfy but not too thick, all sorts of colors, patterns, lengths, styles, you name it. Bombas, they look good whatever the occasion. Best of all, for every Bombas purchase you make, Bombas is going to donate a pair to someone in need. If you're interested, if you haven't already gotten on the bandwagon, go to bombas.com/solid today, and you're going to get 20% off your very first purchase. That's bombas.com/solid. You'll get 20% off. Final time, bombas.com/solid. Check them on out.
I haven't lost a single pair of my Bombas socks to elasticity issues.
I haven't either. It's amazing.
Any of them. They have held up 100%. And if that's not an endorsement for a sock or two, I don't know what is. They are iron men and women, my socks.
So we did send a call out very quickly. We'll go through these before we get to, I don't know, a handful of some spillover questions from our Q&A.
Yeah.
We put a call out what other people wished for ballers. We've got a couple here. I'll read through these very quickly. Alabama or Clemson to miss the college football playoff and or title game?
The overwhelming biggest response. People are sick of Alabama, Clemson. At least that respond to our tweets.
Playoff expansion. Another wish.
Mm-hmm.
Punt return, touchdowns, and blocked field goals. Those are always fun.
That's a great answer.
Another good answer. Our friend Bill Connolly, newly minted as an ESPN employee.
Yeah.
On playoff game telecasts for football championship subdivision.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll see
him on there.
some FCS playoff broadcasts.
People will be very confused.
An undefeated UCF.
Oh, that'd be great.
Every conference champion is undefeated, forcing the committee to rank conferences.
Yeah, not as intriguing as we'd like to think, because they'll just take what they think are the best teams after watching King of Queens reruns.
Army beating Michigan. That's tasty. That is meaty.
In Ann Arbor. Yeah.
The SEC getting shut out of the college football playoff.
Yeah. Well, hold your breath.
And then finally, snow and monsoon and wind games.
Yes. Of course, yes. How do you feel about the first answer? Like, what is your, and I'm sure it'll evolve as we get closer to the season and as we, you know, travel through the season. But is there an Alabama Clemson exhaustion for you? Is it because both of their quarterbacks are returning and are known excellent commodities? Is there something that you like about the, you know, they're on a path to each other? That's what it feels like, the inevitability. Or are you ready for the sort of page to flip?
Yeah, there's a little bit of exhaustion. But for me, it's got more to do with Bama than it does with Clemson.
Okay.
The personality of these two programs is drastically different. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this before. We've been to media days before. When Clemson comes out there and answers questions, it just feels very different than when Alabama does. It just feels. It's got a different feel to it.
Yeah.
It starts at the top. It's the way they run the programs. They're both very successful in their own right. Just feels to me like Alabama's been doing it for longer. This whole Clemson experiment, still a little bit newer, will eventually get there with Clemson. Two more years of Trevor Lawrence is going to drive that bus pretty quick.
Yeah.
If I had a pick between the two, I feel more exhaustion with Bama than I do Clemson. That being said, I am not against this, what feels like inevitability of them getting together again in the playoff championship game. Because as it stands now, they probably are the two best teams, and you want to reward excellence however you can.
So they've played many times in the playoff now. They are both recruiting now. I think Clemson has the number one class this season.
Yes.
I mean, that will sign in 2020 so far. They have the number one class in the country. So talent-wise, they are comparable, if not already on the same level. They just put their entire defensive line into the NFL pretty early on in the draft. They, you know, they're, as you mentioned about Trevor Lawrence, loaded to bear offensively. They are two of the least interesting things about the 2019 season. Not necessarily because I don't appreciate excellence, because they're clearly excellent, but because they're pretty known right now. And I want to see what other teams look like. I want to see who else is able to come together. And there's very few teams that can claim a talent level on the level of Alabama and Clemson. But I want more wide open about the sport. And I know people will point to ratings of, oh, well, you know, when you have known teams at the top, you know, people like dynasties, people like the big rivalry on top. I think those are casual fans.
Right.
These are not the people that we are necessarily speaking to right now. And so I feel what you feel. I feel your pain.
Thank you, Dan.
And I think it'd be great if we had just a fresh, you know, maybe one of these teams in the playoff, but we had a fresh three around them. I want interesting and new. That's what I always want. I want novel. I want unexpected. I want upsets. I want intrigue. And you can say a lot of great things about both of these programs, but I don't think those words can be used to describe them.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that comes along with doing a podcast, a national college football podcast since 2008, is the fact that we tend to care about what makes late season interesting. What keeps the largest group of fans interested?
We're Week 10 people on this show.
And
this house
is the scenario that you define.
Yeah. We are Week 10 people.
We got, 5 minutes left?
Yeah.
Let's do some quick spillover questions that we had from last week. You want to do those?
So if you are solely interested in listening to movie-related college football questions, we're done. It's out.
Yeah.
We're clear. We have some non-college football questions that we couldn't get to last week in our What'll It Take? Is that what it was called?
Yes.
Episode?
Yes.
What's the best and worst thing about each of your neighborhoods / communities during the summer? For example, my pro is we have a great minor league baseball stadium. Hey, shout out Iron Pigs. And team that I enjoy going to see. Con is my next door neighbor feels the need to run a piece of power equipment constantly all weekend, every weekend.
That sounds like Mama H's house.
Okay.
Always a small motor running somewhere up there.
What do you love about your general area in the summer?
Well, I mean, first off, everyone here is very friendly, but there's one of the locals here in this neighborhood. Mm-hmm. They've done this thing where they've created their own ice cream truck setup.
Really?
It's two kids that ride around on a bike, and they've got a trailer, and they've got a loud Bluetooth speaker blaring out music that sounds like an ice cream truck.
Yeah.
And I never see anyone actually buy it, but they're clearly entrepreneurial. And
you don't buy it? You don't support them?
I would like to. I just haven't had the chance to yet.
Okay.
I'm open to it. But they ride around on this homemade ice cream trailer, and I just get a kick out of it. So I appreciate the ingenuity. That one to me is probably the singular best thing in the community. The worst thing, I'm pretty close right now to a retention pond, and sometimes when it rains in the summer, mm-hmm. we get a lot of bugs coming from that.
Worst thing about in general where I live in the summer is probably the train going down and trying to take the subway during the summer. You start looking like Patrick Ewing after a minute and a half. Mm-hmm. What do you look like the end of the third quarter? The best thing is, and I don't know where this happens and where this doesn't happen across the country. Maybe it's super common, maybe it's not. But a lot of restaurants in Brooklyn have backyards. And that's great in the summer. Especially as it cools down a little bit at night or into like September. A good backyard meal at a restaurant, it's wonderful. That's probably my favorite thing.
All right. What's the best piece of theater you have ever seen? It could be your favorite, but I'm talking about best produced, best acting, lights, choreography, directors, concepts, sound, overall production, blah, blah, blah.
Right. I saw Ragtime when I was like 10 years old. It was very good.
Yeah.
It was excellent. Lion King was also really good.
I cried during the opening scene of Lion King.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say something completely like Bring Into Noise, Bring Into Funk.
No.
Okay.
I saw The Lion King.
You cried? I shed tears?
I shed tears. Actual tears during the opening scene of The Lion King.
So you are overwhelmed with emotion.
Overwhelmed. You got the animals coming down the aisles. They're singing the song. Yeah, man. It was powerful.
I mean, you're thinking about your own circle of life.
That's right. Going up to Pride Rock. That's emotional, man.
Apparently, the new Lion King, not so good.
No,
not so good. Superstar cast, but they basically did the same exact movie, same exact beats. Everything is the same. They just changed that it's computerized. Yeah.
All right.
I don't know what to tell you. What is your favorite summer blockbuster of all time?
Jurassic Park.
It's a great answer.
Actually, no. Independence Day.
Independence Day is my answer.
Independence Day is the answer.
You go into a movie knowing it's about an alien invasion. You come out of it with Goldblum going up to set off a nuclear bomb in space. It's outstanding. I loved Independence Day so much. The Welcome to Earth. Come on. Independence Day is wonderful. Jurassic Park is great. I just rewatched it. The dinosaurs at times hold up really well. And at times you're like, ooh, that's rough. That velociraptor looks like a balloon a little bit. Independence Day is getting my vote.
Yeah, ID4, baby, all the way.
Final question. Which route do you go on a honeymoon or week-long vacation? Exclusively eat out, go shopping at a local supermarket and cook for yourself? A combination of the two of them. Also, what would be the preferred balance between the two? So if you're going on a fully robust vacation time.
No, right.
Are you ever going to the market to grab food to cook in your hotel room?
So I'm thinking like a beach vacation.
Okay.
Not a honeymoon, but a week-long beach vacation, standard issue.
Where are you staying? Paint me a picture.
Staying in like a rental house, let's say, right along the beach.
Okay. Yeah.
I think I prefer a 70-30 split of going out to eat versus staying in and cooking.
Okay.
My issue with staying in and cooking while you're in the rental house is a lot of those weird supermarkets along the beach have poor selection and are overpriced. They're tough to get to.
Yeah.
It's just more trouble than it's worth more often than not. But it is fun. It can be fun in your rental home to cook a nice meal, to have a few drinks, to sit out in the balcony, enjoy the evening. There's a lot of value there. So I think 70-30 is my split.
If I'm staying in a hotel, I'm always eating out.
I just, and yeah, especially if it's a, agreed, it's a big vacation, if it's a honeymoon, if I'm in Rome, I'm just eating out every meal. That's what it is. If it is a rental house, beach, lake, mountain, country, whatever, especially if you're staying with other people in the house as well, I love a good, even if it's overpriced, even if the selection isn't great, I love a good stock up grocery trip. I love that. Because as everybody knows, and this is one of my favorite Trey Kirby life philosophies, anything goes on vacation. And mm-hmm, vacation starts in the airport, Ty. Vacation starts in the airport. And so I love a good grocery stock up. The only thing that's kind of a wild card about cooking yourself and you have that group situation is you got to put a lot of trust into other people's cooking ability.
Right.
Like, oh, Mark, these burgers are not seasoned, mm-hmm, at all. And so that becomes a bit of a wild card. But more often than not, I love a good stock up home grill.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself. Because here's the other thing. You go to a lot of these areas that are very vacation-y and touristy. The types of restaurants that are available nearby are generally largely not great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're trying to cater to everybody, which means that it tends to be a little bit bland.
Like
or everything
an 8-page menu. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I do like controlling the food element of it. If I do have like a full kitchen with other people or a grill with other people, yeah, I'll go 70-30 cooking for ourselves.
All right. So that does it for today. Hope you enjoyed the show. One more time, please sign up for the newsletter. If you don't want to sign up for the newsletter,
how dare you?
How dare you? But please do stay tuned for ticket links to the Texas show coming your way August the 17th, Alamo Draft House, a little bit, I think, north east.
It's like 15 minutes from downtown. It's fine.
From downtown Dallas. Right
there. Yeah.
We will be posting that stuff. But obviously newsletter subscribers get the link first. Tickets in DC still available. Dan and I still working out how we're going to do two shows in 2 days. Could really go sideways.
What time is the Dallas show? Is an 8 p.m. start?
Dallas show is an 8 p.m. start.
Time will they be let in?
I do not know that 6:30? Yet.
Okay, we don't have that detail.
Don't have that yet, but I do know that in DC, doors open at 6 and okay, the show starts at 7:30.
Damn.
Yeah.
So should we just roll Independence Day on the screen?
A featured broadcast. A
little bit of ID4, a little Jurassic Park. I threaten to make something to air on the screen at either show. How do you feel about that right now?
Threaten to make something? That could go a bunch of different directions, Dan.
Do you remember what I pitched you?
I do.
I'm going to edit together a supercut of every Notre Dame interception
and air
it as people file into the theater.
I'm open to it because I probably won't have to watch it.
It'll be enjoyable for everybody in DC and Texas.
For that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrandt, please do enjoy the rest of your week. Stay tuned to your email and to all of our social accounts if you're interested in buying tickets. Enjoy all of your weekend. We'll catch you all on the flip side. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.